This is The Conversation here on Hawaii Public Radio. You know, Western Australia is isolated from the rest of the continent by desert, and its economy is dominated by iron ore mining. New Zealand is a series of islands, and its economy is dominated by food and agriculture. Both have seen external shocks due to fluctuating prices of iron ore and dairy. Sound familiar? Well, a new brief from the University of Hawaii Economic Research Organization, UHERO, looks at the similarities between these economies and Hawaii, as well as attempts to diversify. The report was written by Stephen Bond Smith, a senior research fellow at the Bankwest Curtin Economic Center at Curtin University in Western Australia. But he'll be joining the UHERO staff later this fall. He spoke with HPR's Jason Ubai and explained how it's difficult to innovate in isolated places.
So innovation is something that's really difficult in isolated places because you need these random meetings of people that have just parts of an idea that they need to connect, and these knowledge spillovers that occur between people to then generate the new innovation, some new idea, a new tech company, whatever the idea is. And these are just going to happen less frequently in these isolated places because people aren't really traversing through there that often. Now, the nice thing with Hawaii is that it is a little bit of a hub in that you've got a lot of people actually coming in and out of Hawaii. You need to create opportunities that people can meet. And so the fact that Hawaii already has some convention travel and things like that, convention events to attract business travelers, does mean you will get some more serendipity than what you would get in, say, other Pacific islands, and certainly more probably than what we get in New Zealand. But it's still going to be difficult. Ideally, as you would have these people also meeting with locals to generate this opportunity for serendipity. So encouraging more sort of local participation in what are otherwise international conventions would generate these opportunities for serendipity and knowledge spillovers to the sort of broader international networks that Hawaii connects with simply by being, at least in non-COVID times, much more well-connected internationally and to the mainland United States. The next thing is that you would focus on particular industries. So we already have a specialization in the visitor industry. So you've got this mass of people that have a whole lot of knowledge about different aspects of the visitor industry. And those people need to be able to connect. And when you're going to get serendipitous, innovative ideas in Hawaii, they're more likely to be in something that's highly related to the visitor industry. So ideally, you want to be supporting the sort of activities and the sort of businesses that might start up that would branch out from the existing knowledge base that Hawaii's got in visitor industry, because that's where these ideas are going to be more likely.
Did you talk about that? What are some examples of some of the capabilities and some of the things that, you know, people have the know-how in tourism, and how does that relate to other fields?
Okay, so to figure out what you can do with your existing capabilities and how they can be transferred to new industries, you really need to ask the people that are in those industries. So I don't have enough knowledge about hospitality or leisure or this industry in Hawaii. So I would want to ask the people that work in those industries, you know, how else they can apply their capabilities to other industries. One simple idea that I have is, so tourism hospitality requires, say, international world-class chefs, and you also have this wide array of food, different types of food in Hawaii, from the blends of all different cultures. So I could imagine a new industry could start up, which could be training world-class hospitality chefs that could learn from the existing knowledge base of the chefs that are in your existing convention hotels. They could have practicum type training in all sorts of different types of world food, whereas other places in the world might be much more concentrated in their particular local foods. So this would be a really niche type of training industry for chefs. But to ultimately know if that industry is going to work, you would need to talk to people who are in the hospitality industry who work in hospitality training and figure out if that's really going to fly and exactly what's needed perhaps to get something like that off the ground. What I can do though is, what we've done is seen that when places diversify into new activities like this, they repurpose their existing capabilities into other industries. And what you see is that when economies grow, they diversify into these related industries. So what we can do is we can look at all the different places in the United States. We can look at every county in the United States and see how often do you see two industries together. So how often do you see, in this case, chef training and hospitality in the same place? And if you see those highly, if you see those often together, but at the moment the chef training part is really weak in Hawaii, well, that suggests that it's probably a really good candidate industry for something that Hawaii could do. So we can do this for all the different industries, disaggregate the data as much as possible and look at every county, and then figure out this relationship between all the different industries, and then look for clusters of those and clusters of opportunities in Hawaii and see how we can support those, see how we can support the activities that kind of bind those clusters together.
I wanted to go back to the idea of serendipity and kind of being a hub here. And Hawaii has been described as this gateway from Asia to the US. But you're saying, I mean, it's no longer the case. I mean, there's direct flight from the US West Coast to Japan, you know, and basically a lot of connectivity there. But, you know, you mentioned something that there could, in your report, that we could be a gateway for the BRICS country. And, you know, for our listeners, that's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. So can you explain that advantage to us?
Sure. So Hawaii is still a long way from the West Coast, as you all know. And so even when people come to do business in Hawaii, that's not necessarily, doesn't necessarily work as a gateway to the rest of the United States. So the real gateways are those large port cities like Long Beach and San Francisco. And it sort of bypasses Hawaii, both with shipping or with air travel. Hawaii is sort of strategically positioned between China and Brazil. So two of the largest BRICS countries, very, very significant growth. China at the moment purchases a lot of iron ore from Western Australia, but I also know they're trying to diversify their sources of iron ore. They use a lot of iron ore in construction because they're growing so fast. So they also source a lot of iron ore from Brazil. It's one of the main exports from Brazil. So there's a lot more trade going on between all of these BRICS countries than what existed, say, 10 years ago. And the fact that this trade is going on, that trade needs to be facilitated somehow. People need to make business deals. People need to meet. They need to get to know each other. They need to get to trust each other. And often this trust can only really be built with face-to-face contact. So there's kind of an opportunity, I think, for Hawaii to make it really easy for people to, businessmen who are going to do business deals between China and Brazil or elsewhere in South America, to meet halfway in between in Hawaii and have their business deals, maybe have a holiday on the side, enjoy the hospitality and tourism that Hawaii has to offer. But Hawaii's existing visitor tourism industry has some capabilities that could be offered to help facilitate these business transactions. Now, it also requires that they might need professional services to help them facilitate investment banks, insurance, all of these types of things. There's also capabilities that are provided just by being part of the United States, that there's really strong economic institutions to protect their investment. And so this makes quite a compelling offer, but it's also something that perhaps other places in the United States can't offer quite so well. And other places in the world can't offer quite so well, because Hawaii is much more strategically placed in between. The next alternative is perhaps places in Europe. So at the moment, for instance, if you fly from Beijing to Sao Paulo, it typically goes via Frankfurt or Heathrow, which seems a little bit strange. And the flight times are very similar via Honolulu, but you would only have to go halfway if you were meeting somebody there to make your business deal. So that becomes quite an attractive kind of offering, but you gotta be able to bundle all of these different capabilities together about leisure and hospitality with professional services and financial services. And bundling that together as a product to then attract people is a little bit more difficult and requires a bit of support.
That was Stephen Bond-Smith, an economist based in Western Australia, who will be joining UHERO as an assistant professor in the fall.